what's coming up on today's experience. It's Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflection. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but smile because you may be on candid camera. The review of the goofy news which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Don't forget this about media. Media stands for making everyone dumber in America. There you go. Life lessons for our faith we could actually use. Probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because I was bored and needed to do something. That's why. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. Everything you need to know about this show coming up in this next line. You should understand the entire show revolves around this simple thing. We don't know what we're doing. Good night. Okay. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy, here it is, quite simple. What can our prayer warriors pray for you about? That's what we're here for. Let us know. We'll be glad to do it. Look, if you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, not a kvetch. There's plenty of kvetching going on all over the world. A little less kvetching might make a nicer planet overall. Not kvetching, but to share things that you're going through or to share a praise report, something that is awesome that the Lord is doing in your life, and you just want to tell people because the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to share that with one another. Maybe you've got something going along those lines. Hey, all you got to do is give us a call. Nothing to it. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Doggone it, Dynamite D is like heading into the week with great faith and expectation.
That is how we handle Monday.
Listen to this. What are you expecting from God this week? How about that? That's just, that's a good secondary question. What are you expecting from God this week? Where is that level of expectation? Is it at a 6? Hey, let's turn that frown upside down and make it a 9. How about that? Additionally, besides contacting us through the telly, that's right, we call it a telly, through the telly.
You haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah, through the telly, you can also text us. That's cool, too. You just text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Let me give you the semi-professional, not really mature voice.
214-210-8483. Good night.
It's that simple. You know, you can call us, you can text us, you can send us an email. You have to like that too. David@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, @hemustincrease.org. Gonna send you up to the website as we often do. Let you know a few things. On Friday, we have an interview at the beginning of our show. We haven't done one of these in a long time, right? We're going to do a phone interview with somebody who's got a really cool ministry. Not going to talk to you about it yet. It's just a very cool ministry, just kind of getting you ready for it. It's going to be on Friday, going to be very cool. Should be a tremendous engagement. It comes via our great friend Noah, so we're very appreciative that he's coordinated and set that up for us. We don't pay, they don't pay, nobody pays. You know what we do? We help one another. That's what we're doing. So that's what we're going to do. That's coming up. Plus, don't forget, on the website, there are opportunities for people to have their prayer requests and their praise reports put on there. We even give people the opportunity to comment. Some people think this show is a little immature. I only want to say one thing about that. You ain't seen nothing yet. Anyway, the bottom line is how we're going to do it is how we're going to do it. If it's your cup of tea, awesome. If not, there's this button that's right by your radio or right by your phone. Use it and change the channel if you don't like it. Here's the thing we want to encourage you in, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you're a giver and your money is sour as you give it, just keep it. God doesn't need it. If you can give with the right heart and spirit, then give it. On the website's a place to give. Nonprofit organization, if you want to help us advance the kingdom, great. If not, don't sweat it. Check it all out on HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Yeah, so there. Okay, we're going to get ready to get into 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're going after verse 17. A couple things I need to say before we get there. If you are in San Diego, it is 11:38 and 29 seconds. If you are in Dallas, it is 1:38 and 32 seconds. Very simple. If you want to call or if you want to text during the show, great. You got a comment, great. Not a problem. I do want to point out that on our website, we have 4,500 hours. Access to 4,500 hours of podcasts, well over 10,000 messages. What I find amazing is out of that 10,000 messages, less than 100 have been on giving or some kind of giving along the lines. And just so happens that we have another one of those today. So people that don't like it, change the channel, because we're going to teach what the Word of God is and what's in front of us. As you know, we've been doing books, and this is the next part. And this isn't complex. This is super easy. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. You ready? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. That's what it says. You want to change that? You don't change that. That's the word of God. Well, what does that mean? Because that's a lot of stuff there. 1 Timothy 5:17, Paul's addressing the elders who serve well. I have a little bit of sad news here. It should be noted that not every elder does serve well. That's just the truth. You can't do anything about that. But most do. I think that's pretty straightforward. This is not elders and deacons in mass, but the elders who are fully devoted to the ministry with their full time, talent, and treasure. So it's not everybody that's making reference here to those who are like serving like once a week. This is to those that are fully engaged, doing this full time with all of their time, all of their talent, and all of their treasure. It's really a specific nod to those who teach truth and doctrine. Okay, there's a special nod in that direction. Some elders teach, some deacons teach. Kind of works in both realms. This does indicate that teachers should, in fact, make an honorable salary. People are like, "What?" But that's exactly the entire text. To say otherwise, just a lie. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Yes, a salary. The Bible says a workman is worthy of his wage. Is somebody spending time in the Word teaching and helping people? They ought to get that, right? And so what the Scripture says is you can't muzzle an ox while it's working. So how much more true is that for those that help their brothers and sisters in kingdom faith? The workman is worthy of his wage. I think a pastoral position of helping 100 people today. Now listen to this. It'll blow your mind. An average pastor's salary today of 100 people is right about $39,000 to $44,000. Okay, let me just say this. if you took all of the things that pastor does and broke it down into worldly business, worldly occupations, that value would be right just south of $150,000. And you think, well, why is that? It's because if you take what a pastor does and factor in motivational speeches, counseling, management, public relations, government liaison, and several other factors, including societal services like marriages and funerals, they would make a lot more money in an open free market than they would in the church. What that really says is people that do ministry better be doing it for the passion of the ministry, because they're not going to do it for the money, because there's just not enough money there. Unless people are doing something kind of weird, which I'll let that go and let you guys figure that out. The idea behind this is that if you've got a minister at your church and somebody that's just doing a really good job, take care of them. I think it's kind of sad. One of the things that we do have in society today is a reluctance to have that pastor, have those ministers take breaks and get some sabbaticals. Terrible idea not to do that. Even Jesus said, come ye apart and rest a while. And you know, everybody needs to get, you know, their juices going. If you've got a pastor that's been at your church for 5 years or 10 years, you realize if that pastor's been there for 10 years, that's three times the length of Jesus' ministry. So let's just back it up. Take care of these people. That's all I'm saying to you. You have to take care of these people. Because these are the people, these are part of the frontliners. People that are on the front line in the kingdom of God. And my heart breaks, right? I know some pastors are burning. And once a pastor burns out, because I know this really well. Once a pastor burns out, it's really hard to ever get them back in ministry. And it's like, it's so stupid that we would let that happen. So if you've got a pastor at your church, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Please, besides the giving to the ministry at your church, please do this. Make sure that person knows how much you appreciate it. Make sure that person knows you support and you stand there. That's critical, especially if they're going to keep going. I mean, some pastors have been in their positions for 20 years. They probably made some people don't hardly get paid at all or not no pay at all. Those people, they deserve a medal, because it's hard to endure spiritual warfare, get to the end of it all and go, it's hard to love on them, be their strength, be their power, be their blessing. That's all I'm saying, right? And that just totally works. My job's different than a typical pastor, and I'll tell you why. I'm just so you can know. It doesn't mean I don't get burnt out. It doesn't mean I don't have spiritual warfare. But let me tell you the biggest difference. I get to have fun and tell jokes and irritate people. It's like so cool, right? And you can't really say much, because I can say whatever I want about Jewish people because I am Jewish. And it's like Baptist and Pentecostals. So I can say whatever I want about Baptist and Pentecostals. The pastor has to walk a very careful line. I don't. God bless those people. That's all I can say. All right. So I just want you to understand that we should be taking care of those who are taking care of us, especially those that labor in word and doctrine. And there's so many phenomenal people that do that. We really want to be a blessing to them. And people that feed you or strengthen you or empower you, they deserve that. And you ought to be aware of that, okay? Let's zip into real quickly, because the rest of this text gets super deep. Let's zip into our trivia question. And here's the trivia question. In the New Testament, who was the first martyr? Was it Paul, Silas, or Stephen? Paul, Silas, or Stephen? That's the question. Who was the first martyr? And yes, Jesus technically would have been the first martyr, but we're not talking about one that died for us and resurrected. Okay, there you go. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So in the New Testament, according to the book of Acts, who was the first martyr? Was it Paul, Silas, or Stephen? That's the question that we're asking. Gives you the opportunity to answer and to think about it. By the way, some people received a text from me over the weekend. If you did receive a text from me, I need you guys to send me your email. okay? You know what it's about, so you'll know. I need to get an updated email for some people. Because emails change. I didn't know they changed. I guess they changed. That's why I got like 15 email addresses. That's all I can come up with. Somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Steven.
Hello, Steven. How are you? It's a good thing you didn't call it.
Little brother.
Listen,
so I just
I know.
Because I just talked to Dynamite D so I could start my week now.
Your week gets going once you talk to him. You know, it's a good thing you didn't call up and say it was Silas. That would have been a disaster.
Okay. All right. I'm on the highway, so my answer is Steven.
That is
the first model.
Correct, if I know! I will give Deb props. Deb said Steverino.
All right.
That's a good one.
Well,
right
I'm praying, and I'm going to keep praying till the end of this month for people that I mentioned.
You got it. And if people need prayer, right, we'll send them your way.
And happy Rosh Hashanah, everybody.
Happy Rosh Hashanah. Happy New Year, my brother.
Okay.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's get back to the text. People are listening to the show going, what kind of show is this? I don't know. What kind of show do you think it is? There you go. All right, back to the text, because that is one thing that we do, is we do rip it apart piece by piece and look at it. Here it is. I'll read it from 17 to 1 Timothy 7, 5:17, but we're going into 19, and this is a big deal. So it says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out grain, and a laborer is worthy of his wages. Verse 19, do not, I just want to say, when you got to do not, you know something serious is coming. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Ooh. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except for two or three witnesses. It says do not receive an accusation against an elder. Just because somebody says something doesn't make it true. I'm just going to say it. And let me say this for you right now, because you're listening on radio or on an app. Just because you hear it on radio doesn't make it so. Just because you see it on television doesn't make it so. You know when it makes it so? When the Word of God says it so. That's when you know. Everything else is in the hands of corrupt, sinful men. Even the redeemed have moments of blowing it. If you haven't figured that out, look in a mirror and you'll understand what I'm talking about. So just because somebody says it doesn't make it true. Just because somebody says something about somebody else doesn't mean a thing. This not only applies to the church, you guys should know this, it applies to the government, and it certainly applies to the media, because yes, if everybody who lied in government and media were immediately cast into, I don't know, an island, there would be absolutely no government and media left, period. It's just true. Now, here's what the scripture says. It's got to be in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Under Jewish law, the same people from one family is not enough. Did you know that? Got to be separate families. Why? Because of the conspiracy opportunities. That's why. It's got to be people that are split apart. It can't be people of the same group, so to speak, that same kind of likeness. For the biblical reference, by the way, for people that get in trouble when they're, you know, speaking things that ain't so and so on and so forth, really, I just wish people would consider Ananias and Sapphira, because they spoke things that weren't so. And they did receive a just penalty for their wrongness, right? So here's the thing. People are rebuked for doing something wrong publicly. That, of course, is to make sure that everybody understands, look, you do it wrong, you got to answer for it. Now, one thing we do a little poorly is when somebody in the faith makes a mistake, we trounce. And I hate that. Yeah, this is just me now, okay? This is me, not the Lord. It's just that we just, like, if somebody does something wrong, they're supposed to be rebuked before others. It says, those that are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. Okay, that's cool, but that's not what we do. We rebuke, and then we destroy. It was just like, that's bad. You know how people have fallen who are in ministry? That's a drag. You know what we shouldn't do? Kick them to the curb and say they're done until the Lord's trumpet blows, if they were ever Christians in the first place. I mean, come on. Somebody spends 30 years of their lives involved and totally committed to ministry, and they blow it. Now, I'm not even going to make an excuse. They blow it. Well, that just invalidates. That invalidates nothing. Peter denied Jesus. Did that invalidate all the prior ministry work he did? No. And not only that, but in the mind of God. So you know what? Here, you're going to make a mistake, and if you do, you come before the Lord and you ask for forgiveness. You know what the Lord does? It's amazing. He forgives you. I was listening to a song. Listen, you're already forgiven by the redeeming work of Christ. It's that you've got something present that's clogging up the pipe and it needs to just get cleaned out. But I was listening to this song on the way in today, and it just blows my mind. It's a Phil Keaggy song, and it's a song that he wrote about the Lord will always be there, the Lord will always be there. And then when you're going through a really hard time, part of the song is the Lord saying to the person, I've already been down this road. Which is a fascinating statement, because if God always is, always was, and always will be, he's already seen this in you. He already knew what you were going to do. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. You know. He knows what you're going to do in a month. Hey, here's one. He knows what you're going to do in 5 years, 3 hours, 12 seconds from right now. But you don't know. But he knows. He's already been down the road. He still chose you. He didn't choose you by, it was an accident. Come on.
Wow, Dave.
I mean, just think about the power of that. It's like so many people could be free so often. There's the enemy. I can't believe you did this. You just know God's right there going, well, I, of course, being omniscient, can believe it because I saw it before. It's just, you want to know how that conversation goes. I'm just saying, what I'm trying to say to you is, look, when people do something wrong, they should be challenged, especially people in leadership. They should be rebuked, but they should not be destroyed. That's what I'm saying. And we're so good that if this is how we are as a church and as mankind. If somebody does something wrong, if they don't produce the best production of forgiveness, right? If it's not the best production you've ever seen on forgiveness, something wrong with that spirit that we have that. That's not right. If somebody comes and asks for forgiveness, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to forgive them. Like, okay. It's like, but we're like, yes, but you know what? I need a show. No, you don't. God doesn't ask you for a show. You don't need one either. So if they do something wrong, rebuke. That's fine. Don't invalidate everything they've ever said or done. It's just absurdity. And that's the sinfulness of mankind. That's not God. That's mankind. And then the next verse, so right after you get through verse 19, do not receive an accusation against another except by two or three witnesses. Verse 20, those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all that others may fear. Verse 21, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. So what's being said is you do everything without prejudice or partiality. The church cannot operate with this spirit of prejudice and partiality. I'll say this, and I don't care if people don't like it. Even though governments and media operate with prejudice and partiality every single day, we are not allowed to do that. You're not? I know. We can't. Nope. Can't do that. We are not allowed to be in the same spirit. That does not mean you and I are unaware of these demonic attributes, but it means that for a Christian, there has to be a distinction. Because if there's no difference between the church and the world, we have a huge problem. There better be a big difference between the church and the world operates continually in prejudice or partiality. It doesn't know any different. Christians, you can't do that. Somebody comes to Jesus, Jesus is there for them. That's an important point to remember, okay? And so we need to watch our spirit, watch our attitude. You see, Paul is like, he's telling his young protege, Timothy, hey, man, make sure you teach these things. Make sure you tell people this stuff. It's really important. I It's like, okay, we need to hang on to that, right? That's a big part of it, right? Okay, so now, if you are in San Diego, you're listening to KBright 1240, and here's the deal. We're going to keep the show going. Now, there's excellent shows that are coming up on your station. If you want to jump to HeMustIncrease.org, you just click the little Listen Live button, and you get to listen live. If you're in Dallas, all you got to do is hang out as we take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770. Don't go anywhere. Mankind, destroying everyone and everything
we find. He's the hungry giant. Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
What the issue is this guy hears the gospel from Philip. And in that presentation of the gospel is baptism. That is not negotiable in the sense that there's no way you can remove that. And he responds by saying, I want to be part of this family. I want to be connected to this. I hear the good news. I want the grace and the mercy. I want to do whatever it takes to show my response, not just to you, Philip, but to the entire world. I'm a Christian. And that's what baptism does. And while I think it's dangerous to say, if you're not, you can never get in, because I don't believe that's correct, I also think it's dangerous to say, nobody needs to do it. That's incorrect, too. Your baptism is an open proclamation of an inward work. Don't you ever forget, the Lord requires that. If you've never been baptized, get baptized. Don't, oh, we've got to do it right this way. Arrange to get baptized. That's it. If you've never done it, you should do it because it's a declaration of your faith. That's the response to the gospel. You're saying by identifying, going down and up in baptism, the end of you, the beginning of him in you. Okay. That just seems like doesn't even seem like that's complex. I think everybody should just go, yeah, okay, got it.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.